I want you to picture something for a minute and really try to visualize the sheer scale of it.
Okay.
Imagine you're driving past a major international airport, right? Like late at night.
Yeah, with all the runway lights and everything.
Exactly. You look out past those lights and you see these massive, just intensely illuminated structures in the distance. We're talking about aviation hangars.
Right.
The kinds of buildings that are so impossibly large, they literally have their own indoor microclimate.
Yeah, they're cavernous.
And when you see these structures, I mean, it's really easy to just process them as giant utilitarian boxes. You just see a huge echoing steel cave where airplanes go to sleep or, where they go to get an oil
Like
change.
an oversized two-car garage.
Exactly. It looks like a garage for a Boeing.
Which is honestly exactly how the industry treated them for the better part of a century. Just a large, very expensive roof to keep the rain off the aluminum.
Right.
But treating a modern maintenance hangar like a garage is, well, it's a catastrophic financial mistake.
And that is exactly our mission today. We are going to completely dismantle that perception. We're doing a deep dive into how these massive, seemingly empty spaces are actually some of the most highly complex, high-stakes, multi-million-dollar puzzle boxes on the planet.
Yeah, they really are the epicenter of what the aviation industry calls MRO. That's maintenance, repair, and overhaul.
Right, and right now there's a fundamental technological shift happening inside those
A
walls.
shift that's basically driven by pure necessity. The traditional methods of managing these spaces are just collapsing under the weight of modern aviation complexity.
So our primary source for this deep dive is this really fascinating piece from Aviation Maintenance Magazine. It's dated July 1st, 2026. And we are pairing that analysis with a whole stack of recent industry news updates regarding, global expansions and technological
There's a lot
upgrades.
going on right now.
There really is.
Yeah.
We're unpacking how artificial intelligence, advanced simulation software, and video intelligence are completely rewiring how hangar space is protected, how efficiency is calculated, and honestly, how structural reliability is maintained.
We're basically talking about transforming static metal boxes into thinking digital ecosystems.
Yes, but before we get into the software, we really have to establish the stakes here. Because if you aren't in aviation, hangar logistics might sound like a highly niche back office scheduling problem.
Oh, it's so much more than that.
Right.
I mean, the economics of this industry dictate global commerce. Every single minute an aircraft sits in a maintenance bay, the financial bleed is staggering.
It's just hemorrhaging money.
Exactly. An airline only generates revenue when that specific asset is up in the sky, carrying passengers or cargo at 500 miles an hour.
When it's sitting on the tarmac with its engines taken apart, it's essentially a $100 million paperweight.
A paperweight that is actively costing you labor hours, facility fees, and lost ticket sales. And the real problem is a delayed repair inside a hangar doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Right, it triggers a cascading failure.
Yes. So, like, if a Boeing 787 is scheduled to leave Bay 3 at noon on Tuesday and the repair takes an extra 12 hours, well, the Airbus A350 that was supposed to pull into that bay on Tuesday afternoon is now stuck outside.
Just waiting on the ramp.
Just waiting, which means the A350's maintenance is delayed, which means its Thursday morning flight from London to New York is canceled.
Oh, wow.
And that disrupts the supply chain for the cargo in its belly, and it forces hundreds of passengers to be rebooked.
That's a massive domino effect.
Exactly. The hangar is arguably the central bottleneck of the entire aviation ecosystem.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand why these new AI and digital twin technologies are so revolutionary, we really have to look at the baseline first.
We have to look at the mess we're starting from.
Yeah, exactly. We have to look at how this highly advanced, incredibly regulated industry is currently managing that bottleneck. And I mean, reading through these sources, I kept having to double-check the year.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking.
We're dealing with machines that literally defy gravity, outfitted with the most advanced avionics and metallurgical engineering on the planet. And yet, the way many MRO operators plan their hangar space is by using spreadsheets, whiteboards, Outlook calendars, Visio, Microsoft Paint.
And cardboard? Don't forget the cardboard.
Yes, the article literally mentions facilities using physical cardboard cutouts of airplanes on a desk.
It's the industry's dirty little secret, really.
It's insane.
You have these highly trained engineers managing assets worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and they are physically moving a little paper silhouette of a 737 over a printed grid just to see if it fits next to a paper silhouette of a 777.
See, I have to push back on the logic of that, though. I mean, these massive MRO companies and airlines aren't running their actual businesses on paper.
No, of course not.
They have incredibly sophisticated enterprise resource planning systems, right?
Yeah.
ERPs.
Right.
They use these advanced algorithms to track global supply chains. They manage parts inventory down to the last rivet, and they schedule thousands of labor hours.
Yeah.
So why on earth would a company with a multi-million dollar software backend rely on, like, Microsoft Paint to actually park the plane?
Well, it comes down to a fundamental blind spot in how traditional enterprise software is architected.
Okay, how so?
So ERP systems and advanced scheduling algorithms, they're built on databases that track time, resources, and information. And they are incredibly powerful at tracking those specific variables.
Sure.
Your ERP knows the exact hour a plane is legally required to undergo a C-check. It knows exactly which mechanics have the proper FAA certifications to perform that check.
Right.
It even knows that you need to order 3 specific titanium bolts from a supplier in Germany and exactly when those bolts will arrive.
So it knows the what and the when.
Exactly. But it has absolutely zero concept of physical space. An ERP database doesn't know what a square foot is. It doesn't understand three-dimensional geometry at all.
So it's completely blind to the actual building.
Completely. It can tell the maintenance director, hey, you have the labor and the parts to service these 4 aircraft on Wednesday. But it has absolutely no idea if those 4 aircraft will physically fit through the hangar doors at the same time.
So the ERP is actively creating, like, false confidence.
Yes, exactly.
It's handing the executive team a perfectly optimized schedule that is physically impossible to execute in the real world.
And that happens constantly. The ERP says the schedule works, but the ERP doesn't know that the massive scaffolding structure required to inspect the tail of aircraft A will, you know, physically block the towpath needed to bring aircraft B into the building.
Right, because it just sees a task, not a giant metal structure blocking a door.
Right. Time and space have to be managed concurrently. In aviation, they're inseparable. But historically, the software managing the time and the human brain managing the space have been completely siloed.
So you have a million-dollar scheduling algorithm on a monitor and a whiteboard with dry erase markers sitting right next to it.
That is literally the reality on the ground for a lot of these facilities.
Which brings us to the first major technological shift covered in our deep dive. I want to look at a key figure from the source material, Greg Lamp.
Yeah, from Airplex.
Right. He's the CEO of Airplex, based out of Boulder, Colorado. And Lamp has this analogy for hangar planning that just captures the sheer stress of the job perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it playing 3D Tetris on a calendar.
That is the perfect analogy because it's fundamentally about spatial optimization under relentless time pressure.
Right.
But, you know, in traditional Tetris, you're dropping two-dimensional blocks into a static, empty rectangle.
Yeah, which is hard enough as it is.
Right. But in a hangar, you're dealing with three-dimensional objects with incredibly complex, irregular geometries, swept wings, towering vertical stabilizers, protruding radar radomes.
You can't just rotate a plane in place like an L block.
Exactly. They have to be moved through a physical space using specialized towing equipment, and the entire board you are playing on changes every single day based on your maintenance calendar.
So if I'm looking at Airplex's approach, they aren't just giving MRO planners a slightly better version of Microsoft Visio.
No, not at all.
They're building what they call an AI spatial solution. So how does a piece of software actually calculate 3D Tetris?
Well, it starts by totally abandoning the generic drawing tools. Airplex provides a purpose-built environment.
Okay. What does that mean in practice?
So a generic architectural software might let you draw a box and label it airplane. But purpose-built spatial AI ingests the actual mathematical models of the aircraft.
Wow. Okay.
It calculates the exact turning radius of the tow tractor. It maps the visual planning, the physical geometry, the daily maintenance schedule, and mathematical optimization algorithms into one unified digital environment.
And the sources lean really heavily on this term, the digital twin.
Yes, that's crucial.
And, I mean, that phrase gets thrown around in the tech sector constantly, right?
Yeah.
Usually just meaning a basic 3D model. What does a digital twin actually mean when we're talking about an aviation hangar?
In this specific context, a digital twin is an active operational replica. It's not just a static blueprint of the building.
Right.
It is a living, breathing, virtual environment that mirrors the exact physical and temporal reality of the hangar, the outdoor ramp space, the specific fleet of aircraft, and the labor schedule.
So the software knows that on Thursday at 2:00 p.m., Bay 4 isn't just occupied.
Correct.
It knows that Bay 4 contains a Boeing 787. It knows the exact inch the nose gear rests on. It knows the exact sweep of the wingspan. And it knows exactly where the maintenance stands are positioned around the engines.
Yes, and more importantly, it understands the physics and constraints of that specific space.
Meaning what?
Meaning, if you take an off-the-shelf large language model or generic AI, and you just ask it to optimize my hangar schedule, it will hallucinate a schedule that crashes three planes into each other.
Because it doesn't know how big the planes actually are.
Right. It lacks operational context. A digital twin gives the AI the spatial awareness it needs to actually apply its computational power. It understands that a plane cannot simply strafe sideways to get out of the way.
It's a difference between asking someone to pack the trunk of your car by just giving them a written list of groceries versus giving them a fully interactive, hyper-accurate, holographic simulation of both the trunk and every single item in the grocery cart.
That's exactly it. And this isn't just theoretical. The source text brings in some real-world validation from Duncan Aviation out of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Right. They use this kind of software.
They do. And they make a critical point about the human element here. The digital twin doesn't replace their veteran human planners.
Which is always the fear with AI, right?
Always. But here, it augments them by doing the heavy mathematical lifting.
Because, I mean, even the most experienced human planner is going to have a cognitive limit. A human can look at the whiteboard and say, well, we can probably squeeze the corporate jet in behind the regional airliner.
Sure.
But that human might forget that the tail inspection on the airliner requires a specialized cherry picker that swings out an extra 15 feet on Thursday afternoon.
Exactly. The human brain drops variables when it gets overwhelmed. But the software never forgets the cherry picker.
It remembers every single tool.
Right. It continuously surfaces spatial constraints and fit considerations that would take a human planner days to calculate manually. Mm. It automatically flags that the corporate jet's winglet will be, say, 12 inches away from the cherry picker's swing radius.
Yeah.
And it does that, preventing a multi-million dollar collision before the tow tractor even hooks up to the plane.
Now, I want to play devil's advocate for a moment here.
Go for it.
When you drive past one of these hangars, you see a massive square of concrete. I think the natural assumption is that this is just a giant empty box.
Yeah, a lot of people think that.
Surely, if you know the total square footage of the hangar floor, and you know the length and wingspan of the incoming aircraft, the math shouldn't require advanced AI.
You think so?
You just calculate the area of the box, you subtract the area of the planes, and you see if you have leftover space. What is so inherently complicated about empty space?
That is the exact assumption that Matthew Curry dismantles in the source material.
Right. He's the founder and CEO of Stax Aviation Group out in Paso Robles, California.
Yes. And he points out the fundamental truth of MRO operations. Hangars are not empty boxes.
They just look like it from the highway.
Exactly. From the inside, they are a minefield of highly restrictive, permanent, and often invisible geometries.
Invisible geometries? Like what?
Well, you aren't just calculating the footprint of an airplane against a flat rectangle of concrete. You have to navigate massive structural support columns that dictate the flow of the entire building.
Okay, sure. Columns make sense.
You have permanent maintenance docks that are trenched right into the floor. You have multi-story offices and tool cribs tucked into the corners. You have highly sensitive fire suppression systems hanging from the ceiling.
Oh, wow. The article actually provides a master list of the variables these planners have to track. And it is staggering. Let me just walk through a fraction of what has to be mapped before an aircraft is even cleared to enter the building.
It's a long list.
First, you have the basic dimensions, right? Aircraft length, wingspan, and crucially, tail height.
Yes, tail height is frequently the silent killer of a hangar plan.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Planners get so fixated on the floor space and the wingspan that they forget planes are incredibly tall.
Right. The tails are massive.
You might have the score footage on the floor to park an A380, but if the tail stabilizer clips the overhead gantry crane, that space is completely useless.
Then you move past the physical dimensions into the regulatory and safety constraints. You have mandatory safety clearances between the aircraft. You have incredibly strict local fire codes.
Yeah.
You can't just pack the planes in like sardines. There have to be clear, unobstructed egress routes for personnel in case of like a fuel fire.
And you also have utility constraints. You can't just park a plane anywhere in the room. large maintenance checks require massive amounts of power and pneumatic air.
Oh, right, they have to plug in.
Exactly. The planes have to be positioned precisely over utility pits built into the hangar floor. If you miss the pit by 10 feet, the plane might as well be parked in the parking lot.
That's wild. Then you add the variable of motion, towpaths, and aircraft movement logistics. Like you mentioned earlier, planes don't move sideways.
No, they don't.
You have to calculate the turning radius of the aircraft, plus the turning radius of the massive tow tractor pushing it.
Right. And if you have an aircraft parked in the back corner of the hangar that finishes its maintenance early,
Yeah.
but you have three other aircraft parked in front of it that are midway through an engine overhaul,
You're trapped.
you're completely trapped. You have a multi-million-dollar asset held hostage by your own poor spatial planning.
It's literally the most expensive traffic jam in the world.
Without a doubt.
And we haven't even touched on the ground support equipment. You have to plan staging areas for the toolboxes, the hydraulic lifts, the scaffolding, the parts
It
carts.
never ends.
You have to account for simultaneous maintenance activities. And the hardest variable of all, shifting schedules.
Oh, the schedules always shift.
Right. In aviation, a routine 2-day inspection turns into a 3-week structural repair the second a mechanic opens a panel and finds deep-seated corrosion in the airframe.
And this is exactly why the what-if simulation capabilities of platforms like Stax are so revolutionary.
How so?
Well, traditional planning is purely reactive. You track where things are today, and you just react when something goes wrong tomorrow.
Putting out fires.
Exactly. But spatial AI allows operators to be predictive.
So walk me through a concrete example of a what-if simulation. How does a facility actually use this tool to prevent a bottleneck?
Okay, let's say an MRO facility is approached by a major cargo airline. The airline says, "Hey, we have two extra 767s that need emergency heavy maintenance next month. We will pay a massive premium if you can fit them in."
Okay, great news for the business.
Right. Historically, the facility manager looks at the whiteboard, sees a few empty gaps in the schedule, crosses their fingers, and signs the contract.
Hoping for the best.
Yeah. But a month later, the planes arrive, a separate project gets delayed by 2 days, and suddenly they have a logistical nightmare. They physically cannot fit the 767s into the building.
So they breach the contract.
Exactly. But with the digital twin, they don't have to guess.
They know in advance.
Right. Before ever signing that contract, the planner inputs the two 767s into the Stax software. They run the what-if scenario against the projected schedule for next month.
And the software just figures it out.
The AI instantly runs thousands of spatial permutations. It simulates the towpaths, it factors in the scaffolding for the other planes, it accounts for the fire lanes, and the simulation might come back and say, "Actually, you cannot fit both planes without violating fire code on Tuesday the 14th."
So instead of a catastrophic failure next month, the facility manager can go back to the cargo airline today and say, you know, we can take one plane on the 1st and the second plane on the 15th.
Exactly. They preserve the revenue, they ensure safety, and they prevent the physical traffic jam before the aircraft even leaves the runway.
It's basically a crystal ball that only shows you aircraft parking scenarios.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so we've mapped the space. We've used the digital twin to dodge the support columns. We've perfectly aligned the landing gear over the power pits. We've cleared the fire codes, and the airplane is safely parked in the bay.
Right, mission accomplished, right?
You'd think. But perfectly parking the plane is only half the battle. What actually happens when the plane is sitting in the bay, the tow tractor disconnects, and the mechanics have to start actually taking the airframe apart?
That's where things get really messy.
And this brings us to the second core focus of our analysis today. I want to look at the insights from Tom Terosian. He's the Director of Aviation Business Development at TruVideo, based out of Wellesley, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Terosian focuses on what happens after the spatial planning is done.
Right.
He identifies this massive, persistent vulnerability in the MRO workflow. He calls it the critical blind spot at the point of work.
Which, I mean, seems counterintuitive, right? Because aviation is famously obsessed with documentation.
It is, but the documentation is really unevenly distributed.
What do you mean?
Well, the industry has done an incredible job digitizing its high-level records. Maintenance manuals are digitized, compliance tracking is fully automated, flight logs are beamed straight from the aircraft to the cloud.
Right. The paperwork is digital.
Exactly. But when you get down onto the hangar floor, at the exact physical point where a technician has a wrench on a piece of metal, the workflow suddenly devolves into something stunningly analog.
The actual point of work is archaic.
It really is. It relies on a highly fragmented, highly inefficient web of verbal communication and, like, static imagery.
Okay, give me an example. Let's trace a standard interaction under the old system.
Okay, so a technician is doing a borescopic inspection inside a turbine engine.
Right, they're looking deep inside the machinery.
They spot an anomaly, maybe a hairline fracture on a compressor blade, or some unusual wear on a seal. Under the traditional workflow, that technician might scribble a handwritten note on a clipboard.
A clipboard? Really?
Seriously. Then they might use a ruggedized tablet to snap a grainy, poorly lit, static photograph of the fracture. Then they have to literally stop working, climb out of the engine, and physically track down a senior engineer to evaluate the finding.
Or worse, what if the senior engineer isn't even in the building?
That's incredibly common. Very often, the subject matter expert for that specific engine type is in a completely different city. So the technician emails this blurry photo to the engineer. The engineer looks at it and says, I can't tell how deep that fracture is from this one angle. I need to fly out there and look at it myself.
Wait, fly out. So if I'm understanding this correctly,
yeah,
you are forcing highly trained engineers, people responsible for the safety of hundreds of passengers, to make massive structural and financial decisions without giving them the full visual context.
Yes.
It's like trying to get your auto mechanic to diagnose a strange noise in your transmission while you mimic the sound over a bad cell phone connection.
Right.
Instead of just letting the mechanic look under the hood.
That is the perfect analogy. And the downstream effect of that analog communication is just brutal.
Because it just grinds everything to a halt.
Exactly. It causes massive spikes in AG time, aircraft on ground. The plane just sits there in the bay, taking up that meticulously planned physical space, racking up hourly facility costs, while humans play a very slow, very expensive game of telephone.
So the spatial plane you built with your digital twin gets completely destroyed because you are waiting on a visual inspection.
Exactly.
So enter TrueVideo and the AI video workflow.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to break down the mechanics of this because they aren't just handing mechanics better iPads with nicer cameras, right?
Right. It's way beyond that.
How does this system actually rewire the communication loop on the hangar floor?
So TrueVideo embeds an AI-powered video intelligence engine directly into the daily inspection routine.
Okay.
Instead of relying on a static photograph and a handwritten note, the technician uses the platform to capture continuous, high-definition, structured video footage as they conduct the inspection.
So it just becomes the default medium of the workflow. They just record as they work.
Yes, but the video file isn't just a passive recording being saved to a hard drive somewhere.
Right.
This is where the computer vision mechanics actually come into play. As the video is captured, an AI layer is actively analyzing the visual data frame by frame.
While they're filming.
While they're filming, it uses advanced object recognition models that have been trained on thousands of hours of inspection footage.
Okay, let's drill into that for a second. How does an AI actually know what a broken compressor blade looks like? We throw the term AI around so much, but what is the actual mechanism here?
Well, it relies on deep learning and pixel mapping against 3D CAD models.
Okay.
The AI has been fed massive data sets showing what a healthy factory standard compressor blade looks like under various lighting conditions. It understands the specific geometric curves and edge lines of that component.
So it has a baseline of perfection.
Exactly. So when the technician pans their camera across the physical engine, the AI maps the live pixels against its internal model. If it detects a shadow, a jagged edge, or a discoloration that deviates from the healthy model.
Like a microfracture.
Right, like a microfracture. The system instantly flags it on the screen.
That's incredible. It's actively cross-referencing the live feed against a massive database of known failure patterns for that specific aircraft model.
Exactly. It's like having a veteran engineer with an encyclopedic memory of every structural failure in Boeing history, just looking over the technician's shoulder during every single inspection.
Wow.
And it goes further than just detection. The software automatically structures the data.
What do you mean by structures the data?
It tags the video with the exact aircraft tail number, the specific task card being executed, and the exact timestamp of the anomaly.
Oh, that is huge. So when that remote senior engineer logs into the system from three states away, they aren't digging through their email inbox looking for a file named, you know, enginepick4.jpg.
Right, exactly. They log into a dashboard and see a perfectly organized, AI-tagged, high-definition video timeline.
They can just jump right to the problem.
They can scrub through the footage, pause it, enhance the contrast, and see the exact lighting and context the technician was seeing on the floor. They have total visual clarity.
So bringing this back to the core operational problem, What is the actual bottom line impact of this visual clarity? We have AI spotting fractures and organizing videos, but how does that actually fix the hangar bottleneck we were talking about earlier?
The impact is entirely measured in speed and throughput. Because the remote engineers have immediate, undeniable visual evidence, they can make critical repair decisions instantly.
They don't have to guess.
They don't have to guess. They don't have to request better photos. And most importantly, they don't have to board a commercial flight to go inspect the engine in person.
So the decision cycle shrinks from, like, days to minutes.
Precisely. And when the repair decision is made faster, the physical repair starts faster. The aircraft exits the maintenance bay days ahead of the old analog schedule.
And when that highly valuable physical space is freed up early, the next plane in the queue can enter the bay.
Exactly. The video software isn't just an IT upgrade. It is directly driving physical hangar throughput.
It perfectly illustrates how intertwined time and space really are. I mean, you can use Airplex to build the most mathematically perfect, the 3D optimized parking plan in the history of aviation. But if your mechanic has to wait 48 hours for a supervisor to verify a blurry photograph, your spatial plan is completely useless.
The time bottleneck totally destroys the spatial optimization. You really have to solve both simultaneously.
Listening to all of this, you know, the real-time digital twins mapping millions of square feet, the AI object recognition processing high-definition video on the fly, the predictive algorithms running thousands of traffic jam permutations, I think we have to address the invisible infrastructure making this all possible.
The back-end stuff.
Right. Because none of this works if the software is sitting on a dusty, aging server rack in a closet at the back of the hangar.
No, definitely not. It fundamentally requires cloud computing infrastructure. The sheer computational horsepower required to run these tools is just immense.
Break down the math on that for us. Why can't a facility just run this on a really powerful local desktop computer?
Well, because of the combinatorial explosion of variables. The combinatorial explosion. Basically, when an optimization engine like the one Stax uses is asked to find the best way to park 10 aircraft in a hangar, it isn't just looking at one solution.
Right.
It is evaluating thousands, sometimes millions, of different placement scenarios. It has to calculate the X, Y, and Z coordinates of every aircraft, cross-reference those against the coordinates of every support column, calculate the overlapping turning radii of the tow tractors, and map all of that against a shifting 30-day calendar.
And it has to do all of that constantly.
Right. To do that in a matter of seconds so that the human planner can actually use the data in real time, you need the massive, scalable, distributed compute power that only the cloud provides.
Plus, Greg Lamp from Airplex points out a crucial human benefit to the cloud infrastructure. It completely eliminates the version control nightmare.
Oh, yes.
I think anyone who has ever worked in a corporate environment knows the pain of passing around a spreadsheet file named Hangar Plan Version 7 Final Revised V2.xxlx.
It's the worst. It guarantees that someone somewhere is working off outdated information.
Which is annoying in an office, but in aviation.
In aviation, working off a day-old schedule can result in a plane being towed into a scaffolding structure that was erected 3 hours ago.
Yikes. So the cloud ensures that the floor managers, the technicians under the wing, the remote engineers, and the executive suite are all looking at a single, unified source of truth in real time.
Exactly.
But this immense computational power brings up a very critical question, and I want to push on this.
Okay.
If the AI is this powerful, if the digital twin can perfectly pack a hangar, run complex what-if simulations, and instantly identify a cracked turbine blade on a video feed, who was actually in charge?
Right, the big automation question.
Do we just hand the keys to the kingdom over to the algorithm? Yeah. Do we even need the human planners anymore? Or does the AI just run the facility on autopilot?
It's the most common anxiety surrounding automation, but Matthew Curry is very explicit about this point. He emphasizes that these tools, whether it's the spatial simulation or the video intelligence, are strictly defined as decision support systems.
Decision support.
Right. They are definitively not decision makers.
So the AI is the ultimate assistant, not the boss.
Correct. The aviation industry is governed by a massive framework of federal and international regulation.
The FAA, EASA, all of them.
Yes. They are not going to certify a software algorithm to sign off on an aircraft's final airworthiness or operational safety plan. The ultimate responsibility, both legally and ethically, for the physical execution of the maintenance and the safety of the facility remains 100% with the human operator.
So what exactly is the AI doing then, if it doesn't make the final call?
It removes the human blind spots. The value of the AI is that it processes the raw data into a highly auditable, deeply researched, computationally perfect set of options.
It does the homework.
Exactly. It hands the human planner a menu of solutions where all the spatial math has already been verified. It gives the remote engineer a perfectly enhanced AI-flagged video timeline. It provides the human with the absolute best, most comprehensive data possible, so the human can apply their judgment, experience, and safety standards to make the final call.
It basically gives the human planner the superpower of seeing every variable at once, but the human finger still pulls the trigger.
Well said. It allows humans to do what humans do best, exercise nuanced judgment, while the machine handles the rote mathematical heavy lifting.
Okay, so we need to pull back and look at the macro environment for a moment. Because I'm wondering, why is this sudden, desperate rush for spatial and visual efficiency happening right now?
That's a great question.
The industry's been muddling along with whiteboards and spreadsheets for decades. It's inefficient, sure, but it was functional enough to keep planes in the air. Why the sudden pivot to AI right this second?
Because the sheer volume and complexity of the global aviation market has crossed a threshold where manual planning simply breaks down. The maintenance sector is not a static environment. It is growing, modernizing, and expanding globally at an unprecedented pace.
And this is exactly where the industry news updates we pulled from our sources become incredibly relevant.
Yes, absolutely.
If you look at the executive movements and capital investments happening right now, you see the tectonic plates of the global MRO industry shifting. For example, we're seeing aggressive leadership changes.
Huge ones.
Max Schramm recently took over as CEO of IAG Engine Tech.
Yeah.
Louis-Philippe Mallet just took the reins as chief executive officer at AJW Technique.
And those aren't just routine HR announcements.
Right.
When you bring in new executive leadership at that level, they are coming in with a specific mandate: optimize operations, increase throughput, and capture market share in a rapidly expanding sector.
And they are backed by massive physical infrastructure expansion. It's not just new bosses, it's brand new buildings.
Massive buildings.
Like HHHA, one of the largest aviation engineering groups in the world. They're forming a massive joint venture in Japan right now.
Oh.
They are partnering with the Sun Group, Toyota Tsusho, and Japan Airlines to build a state-of-the-art aircraft maintenance facility. And over in the Caribbean, FL Technics just received certification to commence major aircraft maintenance operations in the Dominican Republic.
So you are seeing MRO capacity expanding across multiple continents simultaneously. But it's not just about building more hangars. It's about the increasing complexity of the machines going into those hangars.
Exactly. Look at what's happening over in Europe. Heavyweight aerospace manufacturers like Safran, MTU, and Avio Aero are receiving major backing from the European Union for the SHARP project.
The SHARP project is a perfect example of this rising complexity. They are developing next-generation technologies for helicopter engines.
Right.
These aren't your grandfather's mechanical turbines. These are hyper-advanced, heavily digitized power plants. Maintaining them requires specialized tooling, entirely new technician training protocols, and highly specific diagnostic environments.
And back in the United States, commercial airlines are currently navigating the massive financial and operational investments required to roll out ADS-B in technology across their fleets.
Which is another critical pressure point on the hangar bottleneck.
Let's actually pause and explain that for a moment, because ADS-B in sounds like dense aviation jargon. What actually is it, and why does it mess up a hangar schedule?
Okay, so ADS-B stands for Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. Historically, air traffic control relied on ground-based radar sweeping the sky to locate planes.
Right, the classic spinning radar dish.
Exactly. ADS-B changes that. Planes determine their own exact GPS position and broadcast it out. That's ADS-B out.
Okay, makes sense.
ADS-B in is the technology that allows the aircraft to actually receive those broadcasts from other planes and weather stations directly into the cockpit. It gives pilots unprecedented real-time situational awareness of the airspace around them.
So they can see everyone else. It sounds like an incredible safety upgrade.
It is. But retrofitting an entire fleet of commercial airliners with complex new avionics receivers and cockpit displays is a massive logistical undertaking. You have to ground the plane, open up the instrument panels, run miles of new wiring, and test the software.
Which means you have thousands of planes suddenly requiring highly specialized maintenance time in a hangar.
Precisely. When you synthesize all of these news items, the new leadership mandates at IAG and AJW, the massive new facility builds in Japan and the Dominican Republic, the next generation engine tech from the Sharp project, and the fleet-wide avionics retrofits for ADS-B, and a very clear narrative emerges.
The volume of work is exploding, and the complexity of the work is skyrocketing.
You cannot manage a global, high-tech, hyper-fast expansion of this magnitude with a whiteboard, a dry erase marker, and an Outlook calendar.
It's just not possible.
The human brain simply cannot compute the variables fast enough. The margin for error is shrinking down to zero. A single scheduling mistake in a mega facility in Japan doesn't just delay one plane, it cascades through the global fleet.
So deploying a digital twin or an AI video workflow isn't just a fun, nice-to-have IT upgrade to make the planner's life easier.
No, it is an absolute necessity for commercial survival.
Yeah.
We are entering an era where spatial optimization is a core competitive advantage.
Right.
If your MRO facility in Texas uses cardboard cutouts and your competitor's facility in Ohio uses Airplex and True Video to turn a plane around 3 days faster, the major airlines are going to send their multi-million-dollar contracts to Ohio.
The physical space you have doesn't matter nearly as much as how mathematically efficient you are at moving assets through that space.
It's adapt to the algorithm or die on the vine.
To summarize the incredible journey we've been on today, the aviation maintenance industry is finally dragging its largest, most overlooked asset, the physical hangar, out of the analog dark ages.
It's about time.
They are abandoning the absurdity of Microsoft Paint and cardboard cutouts, and they are fully embracing purpose-built spatial AI. They are using living, breathing digital twins to solve the 3D Tetris of space, schedules, and structural constraints. And simultaneously, they are deploying AI-driven computer vision to shatter the communication bottlenecks at the point of work on the hangar floor. In doing so, they are reclaiming thousands of lost hours, maximizing millions of square feet of concrete, and quite literally keeping the global supply chain from grinding to a halt.
It is a profound collision of the digital realm and the incredibly heavy, unforgiving physical world. And, you know, as we wrap up our analysis today, I really want to leave you with a final thought to mull over long after this deep dive ends.
Okay, what is it?
We've spent all this time dissecting how digital twins and spatial AI can perfectly map the hyper-complex, heavily regulated, space-constrained dance of an aviation hangar.
Right.
But look outside the world of aviation. What other massive, messy, heavily physical human workspaces are out there right now suffering from this exact same spatial blindness?
Oh, wow.
Think about global shipyards. You have dry docks managing thousands of tons of steel, massive gantry cranes, and overlapping schedules for naval and commercial vessels.
Right, they must have the same problems.
Exactly. Or think about massive, sprawling, multi-tower hospital complexes where the logistics of moving specialized MRI equipment, surgical teams, and patient beds is a constant chaotic puzzle.
That's 3D Tetris on a life or death scale.
Absolutely. Or think about global shipping ports attempting to orchestrate the movement of millions of steel containers a day across finite acreage. If artificial intelligence and digital twins can perfectly solve the 3D Tetris of a $100 million jet plane, what other massive foundational industries are sitting out there right now, relying on whiteboards and spreadsheets?
Just completely unaware that they are just one spatial algorithm away from totally reimagining the physical space they take for granted.
Exactly.
Really makes you look at every giant warehouse, every port, every massive facility you drive past in a completely different light. You stop seeing a building and you start seeing a spatial equation waiting to be solved.
It's a whole new perspective.
It really is. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. I hope you walk away today looking at those giant utilitarian boxes by the runway with a whole new appreciation for the digital revolution happening inside. Take care, everyone.